box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm hoping that we've seen some of the same movies. I'm going to predict right here, right now, on our podcast, that out of my list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, one of them I know you've seen. So out of 4, you and I have 2 that we have seen the same of.
Really?
Yes, a TV show and a movie. That's it. I'm going to make that guess. So I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I'm going to have to burst that bubble. I didn't watch any TV this week.
Oh, that's ridiculous. All right, fine.
Well, now I'm very curious.
Let's just stop this episode now. You've just ruined it.
No, I'm too far in. It's too late.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. Tell me what you watched.
This week, I watched Cold Pursuit. We've seen Liam Neeson in Taken. We've seen Liam Neeson, Taken in Louisiana. We've seen Liam Neeson Taken all kinds of places. Now it's Liam Neeson Taken in the cold. Because we hadn't seen that one yet. Now we have.
What?
That is Cold Pursuit. I saw this little movie titled John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum. An enjoyable movie.
Never heard that.
I saw Halloween 2018, because why not bring up something from the past?
Hmm.
Disney's doing it. Halloween can do it, too. Wouldn't it be great if, Halloween went the other way, had animated Halloween
remakes? That would be amazing.
That'd be something. I watched the documentary Game of Thrones, The Last Watch. And then I watched Deadwood, the movie.
Oh, for goodness sakes, you didn't watch anything I watched this week.
Burn.
Boo.
Burn.
All right. I watched the Pikachu Detective movie.
Yeah.
I watched Hot Zone, the miniseries on National Geographic.
What is that? Is that about volcanoes?
No, it's about the Ebola virus that broke out in Reston, Virginia late 1980s, early 1990s, I think. Okay, I watched The Perfection. This was the movie I had hoped you had watched.
Oh, yeah, that's that Netflix, music type movie.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I did not want to watch this movie. I was 100% against it. I have all my reasons that I'll explain. I was told over and over to give it a chance. Still about it, but I was hoping you would watch it. I should have just made you do it. Okay, we'll talk about it. And then I watched the first episode of Good Omens
from
Amazon Prime. And then I watched Mississippi Grind.
I've seen that one.
All right, cool. That's all I got for you. So you can get started.
Then I shall. So Cold Pursuit, it's taken in the snow. Liam Neeson's a snowplow driver. He's seeking revenge and murdering people because, that's just the Liam Neeson movie. He has his own subgenre now.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would say the most notable thing about this movie is that I believe... This is based on a Norwegian film, 2014, and I may not have this right, but the gist of it's right. That movie, the main character's name was Niles Dickman, and everybody made fun of him. And in this movie, Liam Neeson is called Niles Cockman, and everybody makes fun of him. So, that's pretty cool. Character development and stuff. in essence, Liam Neeson's son gets killed inadvertently. He really wasn't his fault. So he's the thing to do when your son gets murdered is to kill everybody that was involved in that. So that's what he does. The answer to everything is murder. I didn't love this movie. It takes a few leaps. Imagine that.
Okay, I know you saw the Pikachu movie.
Yep.
And I don't remember if you liked the ending or not. And we're not going to
spoil the ending.
The
worst part. It completely dropped.
I agree. I loved this movie. All of its corny, cheesy jokes. I loved little Pokemon Pikachu. I loved everything. Until the last 15 minutes. It was like a sucker punch to the gut. I was so disappointed. There was no need for the movie. It just took everything I loved and invested emotionally in for an hour and a half, and just burnt it to ashes instantly with how this movie ended. I know a lot of people love the ending to this movie. I have talked to people.
That's not true. You can't love the ending to this movie.
No, they loved it. They loved the twist. They were like, "This is great. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's touching. It's heartfelt."
No, I don't
buy
that. Not for a second.
No, it was disappointing. It was so disappointing. If you think through the implications of what it means with the twist and everything, you're like, well, why? What was the whole point? What's the whole point? Now he's not even gonna be friends with Pikachu anymore. There's no point. I was very bummed out.
Well, and
the kid liked it.
Like, there's a few things throughout this movie, like, oh, that could be a cool thing to explore, like, you know, just kind of a secondary plot about the fact, because, you know, this movie kind of pushes that every human needs a Pikachu friend. And I just, yeah. I wonder if we'd explore that. Like, do they? What does that mean? What does that mean for Tim? That's never, there's just a lot of little things like that. I'm like, oh, that could be cool. Nobody cares. The movie doesn't care. And I wish we'd explore some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Because,
that
I mean, this
fine.
Whole world is kind of weird. Like, people have these, like, how does a world like this function? You know, it would be fundamentally different from the world we know. And yet it's basically the same world we know. And I wish they'd done something with that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fine. I was down with, like, suspending belief on a lot of the things perhaps you had issues with. But that ending just really just, it just sucked all the,
like,
fun out of it.
When you say the
me.
Ending, we're talking about, like, the big bad, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, yep. That's pure garbage.
Yeah, it made me really disappointed. So, I'm bummed. But look, a lot of other people liked it. So, I guess if you're out there and you want to give it a try, fine. Your kid probably will like it, but... I personally was bummed out.
Yeah, you're like, oh, your kid will like it. Well, kids like everything, though. That's not a fair comparison.
Okay, next on your list.
John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum. Man, just...
Warren, before you get into this, I heard a little rumor that you went and saw this movie while your family went and saw Aladdin.
Yeah.
So you...
I was
family.
A smart one of that bunch.
You split from your family to go see John Wick 3 while they went to see Aladdin. Is that what
my
happened?
Son is a bit too young. My wife does not like violent action movies. I did not want to see Will Smith doing a poor impression of Robin Williams, so it worked out for everybody.
Can you, before you talk about John Wick, did they talk about Aladdin? What was their take on it? Like, was it good? Was it better than they expected?
Well, my son's a kid, so he liked it, because kids like everything.
Okay.
Well, you know, for my wife and for most people that grew up and know what Aladdin is and saw the original, this just feels kind of like a cheap knockoff. My wife said she was surprised at just how much, like, little romance things are sprinkled into this. It just, you know, more so than the original, it seems out of place.
Okay.
Apparently Will Smith... looks like Will Smith instead of a blue genie for a large part of the movie, because Aladdin's like, oh, you need to look normal to blend in.
Oh, no. They didn't even have him blue for, like, the whole movie? Like, all the genies?
Couldn't say for sure, but I've told you on that.
Okay.
But
I just wanted to get... Okay, now you can talk about
it. I was
it,
surprised, but... my wife didn't outright hate it, though. I found that surprising.
Okay, well, all right, fair enough. Okay.
So,
John Wick.
I mean, gosh, this is an action movie, and... It's good and bad in a way, because here's the good. Like, this is start to stop action movie set pieces. This has more notable fights than, like, entire action movie franchises. It is, and, like, when you're like, oh, this, like, what's going to be interesting here? The movie finds a way to make it interesting. With that said, here's my one, I don't want to call it a disappointment, I'll call it a nitpick. What I absolutely loved about John Wick 1 is that, man, is the fight, like, the fighting, maybe hyperbole, never been done before. We'd never seen fighting like this to this degree, and it was awesome. What was also very cool, one of my favorite parts about John Wick, was that they did this great world building where there's these assassins, and they told us enough that we were intrigued, but they didn't tell us so much that we knew everything about it. It's like, oh man, this vast world, what does this vast world look like? And not knowing, and my speculation, there was no way for the movie to kind of top that and make that. So, like, it left so much more, like, oh, man, what could this be like? Maybe it fits like this. Maybe it works like this. And so, like, I get you can't world build throughout three movies. Like, at a certain point, you reach that hit where, like, well, we've explained it, it's here. But I just missed that little bit of subtlety. I would argue that Wick 2 and Wick 3, there's no subtlety. There's no, ooh, imagine what this could be like. Well, it's here. It's on the screen. We know what it's like. So I just, there's a little bit more story there. And I wish Wick 3 had more of that story. I thought, like, kind of story bits we did get in this that kind of happened towards the end, it's like, it feels like a little bit pulling the rug out in front of me, just because what else are you going to do? Like, you don't really have anything else up your sleeve. But with that said, nobody's really coming to Wick 3 for the story, for the world building. It's the fights, and it's amazing. There are fights in a knife museum. There's fighting on horseback, fighting on motorcycles, and I want to see the behind the scenes. And then, like, we get towards the end, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but you kind of get these, like, these tech-type guys. I thought, well, like, this is going to be more of the same. Like, Wick kills everybody. And they do some cool things for that kind of it's almost like a video game level where like the main bad guy gets overpowered all of a sudden. I thought that's a really cool way to give this a little bit of life, where it's not like, oh, same thing over and over. No, we're going to present a challenge for John Wick. It does have some stuff where, you know, he kind of like goes all over to get like good with the High Council who rule. I don't know, like some of that stuff just felt a little bit heavy and complicated, overly so. Like, who cares, man? Just put John Wick in the city and let him go wild.
But would I recommend
John Wick 3? Well, like, of course. I mean, it's just, oh, it's crazy. One disclaimer, there in the knife museum fight, this movie's very fast-paced. The fights are fast. There's one very slow, protracted event that made me wince. I don't generally wince at movies, regardless of how violent they are. But other than that, man, John Wick, this movie's awesome. They pretty much set it up for John Wick 4. I'll be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hope they, I mean, it's so physically demanding on Keanu, but I hope they keep going. I hope that he's able to keep going.
Well, I mean, even John Wick, the character. I mean, I believe John Wick 1-3 has happened, in the span of a week?
Yeah.
Like, let the man sit down for a minute. Let him catch his breath.
Yeah. Okay. John Wick 4 is just going to be him on a beach, drinking a pina colada, just getting massages.
You know, it would be cool, have him just in a wheelchair, just so he can sit down and take a breath while he's fighting on the wheelchair.
That's what we want to see. We want to see John Wick in a wheelchair.
Yeah, put the man on anything. They'll make a great fight out of it.
Well, that's for sure.
If somebody said he's on a horse and there's a cool fight, yeah, right. There's no cool fighting on it. Nope, they did it.
They did it. They totally did it. Okay, so I watched The Hot Zone, which was a mini series based on the book on National Geographic Channel, and I read the book back in high school, but I think I was too young to really understand that it was a real story. And it's based on this Ebola outbreak that was on the cusp of occurring in Northern Virginia, in Western Virginia, which is right outside of D.C., back, I think, in 89 or somewhere right around there. And it is... okay, so the way they presented it, it was I believe 6 episodes in 3 nights, and I watched 5 out of 6, and then I got really bored because I know how this all ends, and they basically were just killing monkeys over and over and over again for an hour at the very end of it. But it is a very interesting, if you like that sort of biomedical type of storylines. It was interesting, and it's kind of scary to think that something like that, that an Ebola virus that they did not know very much about because they were still trying to figure out the HIV and the AIDS virus, so whenever anything kind of went awry, that's what they automatically thought it was, and then to find out, nope, actually, it's this extremely fast, rapid killing virus that there's no cure for, that we are not prepared for, that nobody has protocols for, you can just see that it's a fascinating look behind the curtain of the bureaucracy and the politics that go into, well, should we put money into trying to find a cure? Should we quarantine people? We don't want to do a panic. It was pretty fascinating stuff. I'm always really interested in stuff like that. So, I mean, it did get pretty boring at the end because they were like, look, we just have to kill all the monkeys and we'll all be okay. And so it really was an hour of them killing monkeys. So I didn't finish the series.
Is this a documentary series as opposed to a dramatic series?
No, it's a dramatic series. It has actors in it. Topher Grace is in it.
That seems like a really wide scope to fit into a dramatic series.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen... I mean, I don't know. Have you read the book? There was another movie with Renee Russo, is that her name? And Dustin Hoffman.
That's Outbreak.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's based off of the same sort of idea that, that it traveled through monkey from Africa and it came over and it spread rapidly and people had to be quarantined. I mean, that one was a full-on outbreak and it's fictional. What happened in Reston was a couple of employees did get Ebola. They tested positive for Ebola, but the worst they got were really severe headaches and flu-like symptoms. And then they were okay. Nobody died, thank goodness. But the idea that it could have spread through Northern Virginia, which is it's D.C. It's pretty intense to think about. It was an interesting series. A little boring at the end, but interesting.
I mean, one you admittedly did not even finish, correct?
One that I didn't finish. It was interesting up to the fifth one. I mean, seriously, an hour of monkey killing is a lot of monkey killing. I mean, the monkeys were CGI, but it's still a lot of monkey killing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the movie needs to get you to add that as your review. It's just a whole lot of monkey killing for an hour.
A whole lot of monkey killing.
All right, I watched Halloween 2018. So I feel like the barrier for success for this movie is really low. As long as it's not an absolute train wreck, well, they've kind of succeeded. So in that regard, they've kind of succeeded. I mean, I don't know. It's not going to set the horror world on fire being innovative and new, but I thought it was a, you know, relatively solid horror movie. I mean, maybe a little forgettable because, like, oh, yeah, it's Michael. It's his sister. Like, we've seen that before, you know? Like, oh, she's old now. Who? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say go out and watch it like this is some revolutionary horror movie. It's not a bad way to waste some time, and that's about the best I can say for it.
Oh, okay.
But it's not a train wreck, and that's really what that movie had to do is not be a train wreck, and it succeeded there.
Well, we know a lot of movies that failed at that, so good for that. Okay. I watched The Perfection. Now, here's all the reasons I did not want to watch The Perfection on Netflix. One, it seems incredibly derivative of Black Swan. It seems to have stolen the style of Us and Get Out and that sort of artsy horror film that I really didn't want to have to deal with. It just seemed like it was going to be a copy of every horror movie out there. And I was promised that the ending was worth it. Now, I do not think it's worth it. I thought it was fine. I thought the acting was great. I thought it was beautifully shot. It is eerie at times. But the twist in it, everyone is talking about this twist like it's the most revolutionary thing in horror movie history. And I beg to differ. I think that it plays off of a trope that is worn out, and I think that it's just not as fascinating as people are giving it credit for.
Well, I mean, just reading the ending, that sounds pretty wild.
Oh, you're reading the ending?
Yeah, I went to Wikipedia, skipped right to the last paragraph.
Wow!
Because I knew you were not going to tell me the ending.
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody the
but
ending.
Now I know.
But look, the...
Now I have to read backwards from the last paragraph because that's alarming.
Here's why they do it. The ending is predictable. And everyone's saying that you can't predict it. But I watched it with my husband and we both knew that this was sort of where it was going. Because every time a twist happens in the movie, they rewind and then
that's
show
annoying.
Exactly what actually happened. So, which is also really ridiculous. They don't need to do that. It's so obvious what happened that when they rewind, that's a whole like 15, 20 minutes of stuff that we already know. So I already had a sense of what
Allison Williams?
Yeah, what her purpose was. And I already kind of had a sense. The direction they took it, the trauma that has caused all of this to happen. I hate when films use this particular trauma in female backgrounds, and I think they took it too far. I don't know. This was a miss for me. It was a miss. It was very much like Black Swan, and it did steal a lot of its artistic stuff from movies like Us and Get Out that have that beautiful cinematic artsy vibe to it. So, I don't know. I guess give it a try if you want to, but I was very harsh on it. I think it was just okay.
That ending alone makes me a little curious.
Yeah, go ahead, knock yourself
but
out.
But no, honestly, I read the rest of it and it didn't sound that great. So I don't know. I think I may have just gotten all I needed right then and there.
Okay, perfect.
Game of Thrones Last Watch. This is a documentary about filming the last season of Game of Thrones. I feel like that description, albeit that's the fact that it's the official one, overstates it a little bit. It's kind of like a clip show of just random things from the last season. I like it in the sense that it's... I mean, Game of Thrones, the final season, each episode was in essence a movie. From length to the production required, like to everything that goes into it. So from the standpoint of seeing how this stuff's put together, how many hundreds of people work to make one episode, I thought it was fascinating. Like the production design, like the makeup, like all this stuff. Like it's cool going behind the scenes. It's kind of neat seeing like some of the table read stuff and, you know, this is our last season. But I'm not sure this really excels at being a documentary for the last season or going deep enough behind the scenes to like, this is how a monumentally huge TV show is made. It's lacking. It's 2 hours long. And I would love for it to be a series so we could really delve into, oh, this job. Like they put a lot of time towards like the food truck person. And I wasn't really sure, did that person just randomly show up on set? You know, like, how were they hired out to do this? I don't know. But that was interesting that this food truck person, they're talking about how important their job was. And other people are like, yeah, their job's really important because if they're not there, people are hungry, they get mad and irritated. Like, that's pretty cool. You know, I just wouldn't factor that into, like, that's required to make a movie work. But yeah, I just wish she did more of everything. So I thought it was really neat, some of these small things they get into, these small details. And like, cool. Looking at the set and the production designer blowing, I don't know what the substance was, I wish they'd explained it, but like blowing snow on things to make it look like winter because it's not. It's really cool. So if you're nerds like behind the scenes stuff, not necessarily Game of Thrones, but just behind the scenes in general, it's really neat at the glimpses we get of that.
All right, I watched the first episode of Good Omens. Now, the actors in this movie are great. Style is great. Love it. This is, I think, like a book or a series of books. I've never heard of it. Never read it.
Wasn't it Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett based on their book or something?
That's it. And I have like book reviewer friends who have read the books and say that the series and the books are both very good and they both like them.
I mean, David Tennant's in this. Like, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, well.
That doesn't sound good.
Okay, I am not going to be watching any more of this series. As much
only
as I
one
love
episode,
did,
like one episode, and you're
only
done.
One, I can't. Ooh. You know why? The pacing was so slow, and they explained all the twists just like in Perfection. They explained what was happening, like the whole premise. And people, like, I don't think this is a spoiler. If anything, you're going to thank me for me telling you, because it takes like 30 minutes to set this up. But the whole idea is that the son of the devil is born. They have to give that son of the devil to a specific family at a nunnery. What is that? A convent?
That would be a convent.
So these families, these two different parents come in. Both of the wives have their babies. And then the son of Satan is being delivered by David Tennant in a basket. Now, that son has to go to the American family, and the English family just has to have the baby and hurry out, because that was a mistake. They weren't even supposed to be there. So they do a little trick, and of course, the babies get mixed up, and the devil's son ends up with the English family, okay? That's the whole thing sets up. But instead of it just being like a cutesy 15-minute, oops, wrong baby, wrong baby, wrong baby, they go into so much detail about it. They have like two or three different points of views. They show it from different angles. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh, it took 30 minutes. It was so boring. It took forever. I can't do it. I can't do it. Can't do it. I can't do it anymore. And then the rest of the episode was the angel and the devil guy, David, trying to influence who they thought was the actual son of the devil to be either good or bad, because that's their jobs. Which, of course, it's the wrong kid, which they don't find out until, like, the very end of the episode. So you've just watched an entire episode where nothing is important.
That sounds problematic at best.
I mean, they could have just fast-forwarded through all of that. Like, we didn't need a whole 60 minutes of it.
It's 60 minutes? Oh, man, that makes
it
even worse.
If it wasn't, it certainly felt like it. So I, as much as I love the actors, and as much as I love this premise, I'm just going to pass. I don't have time for all that.
Is this more comedic, more dramatic? Which way does it skew?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's... it was hard to tell, really, what's going on. I guess they're going for more comedic. I don't know.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Yep.
That's what they're after. Like, oh, if we can just get somebody really confused as to what kind of genre we're after, we've got it.
All right. What's yours next?
Deadwood the Movie. This is an HBO original movie because it's a follow-up to the HBO series. The HBO series ended 10 years ago. The movie's just, it's been a while. So, you know, I enjoyed the series immensely. It is very, very good series. One I think everybody should watch because it's incredible. And I just figured the movie kind of hold my hand a little bit and be like, oh yeah, remember this person? Remember why they're important? Doesn't hold my hand as much as I would have liked. You know, I kind of remember some of the broad strokes. But really, this movie is a love letter to fans of the series. I guess you'd watch this without knowing the series, but I feel like you'd be absolutely lost on a lot of topics. With that said, like, once I kind of got into it, just the way they speak is kind of different. It took me a while to get back into that. You know, if I'd seen this right after the series or close to it, it'd work a little bit better. 10 years after is a bit long. I do like that this movie's happening 10 years after the series ended, so time-wise, like, it kind of works. It's not as good as a series. I'm comparing TV to movies, but just like the impact the series had is just incredible. This movie, it's like, hey fans, we know you wanted more. Here you go. Because I believe originally this was supposed to be two movies to wrap up the series. The series kind of left open ended, and you know, people in charge of HBO, they move on and new people come in, and you know, it's like all of these little handshake deals don't quite work out. So the movie's finally happened. It's here, and I think as an amendment to the series, it's great as a standalone. It's just not standalone. It cannot stand alone.
All right. I watched Mississippi Grind.
Gambling movie.
I don't think I got this movie. I don't think I understood what I was supposed to understand. You said you watched this. Yeah. Was it a long time ago? Remember it?
I'm pulling up my review now.
Because it's Ryan Reynolds, and he meets this other gambler who is really down on his luck. He owes money to a loan shark, and he's in risk of getting, you know, physically beaten up, and his wife has left him, and he hasn't talked to his kid in 6 or 7 years, and, you know. So Ryan Reynolds befriends him, and they go on these road trips.
Can I just jump
trips.
In? You said yeah. That other guy. That other guy is Ben Mendelsohn, a phenomenal actor.
I didn't know his name. I recognized him. and he was great. He was great in this. And I don't think I understood the whole point of this, because I don't think I understood what Ryan Reynolds' role was. Was he supposed to be like a good guy trying to teach the like down on his luck gambler that you have everything you need, money's not important? But then at the end of the movie, they kind of switch roles, and that didn't feel realistic to Ryan Reynolds' character. I don't know. I don't know what I was supposed to get from this. I don't know. Maybe it's just above.
No, your sentiments are pretty much how I felt. I thought this was like, I like this cool character study of a gambler who can't quit. But this movie raises a lot of questions, not because like, ooh, what a great philosophical question. It's, that's a question, because I don't know what the intent here is. It's never, the movie's very vague about what's going on, because Ryan Reynolds, his character feels out of place. Like, because at some point I wonder, it's like Ryan Reynolds, some kind of supernatural person. Like, his luck is just incredible at times.
Yeah.
Like, what's his point? And then I don't know. Like, I like the movie and the fact that Ben Mendelsohn's an incredible actor. He makes his character a real person. But I just never knew what this movie, like, what are we building to? What's the end? Because the end feels off. Because it gives me hope that Ben Mendelsohn's character is going to turn it all around. But
right.
The whole movie's been proving to us that no, he won't turn around. He's a compulsive gambler. Everything ends in ruin. So there's no reason to be hopeful. But the movie's like trying to push me to be hopeful. So I don't know. I know he's going to keep gambling. So what is this?
Or were they trying to switch place, like switch roles? Because it almost felt like at the end, Ryan Reynolds was now on the path of being a destructive gambler. Whereas before, he seemed to know when to quit. And he was trying to encourage him when to quit. And there was a little bit of like shadowing back to Ryan Reynolds' character's past and saying that he has had friends like this before. And so I was like, well, is that like his purpose in life, to like meet up with these guys who are down on their luck and really at the bottom of the barrel and try to lift them up? But then his character goes in a really different path, and I think I missed it. I think I missed the point of this.
No, I mean,
I don't know.
You pretty much got what the movie's slinging. Because like Ryan Reynolds' character, I just wonder, is he more than just a human being? Like, feels like more than a normal person. Like, he's meant to be there. I don't know. The movie's vague on that. And, like, oh, that's cool. It makes all these questions arise. But, movie, you've got to answer something. Like, there's just a few basic things you have to answer. You can't be good based on being vague. Raise these questions to do to the philosophical nature of, will he gamble again or not? Has he really changed? Like, those are good questions. But, like, what does any of this mean is not a good question.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I was thinking maybe this is just an artsy movie that, like, sometimes I just don't get artsy movies, and that's fine, and maybe this is just one of them, but at least I'm not alone with my confusion.
No, it's not you, it's the movie.
Okay, well, that's all I have, so what do you have on your list?
I'm done, man. That was my last
one. Oh, my gosh! Look at that. All right, well, I don't know what we're going to be watching next week. I'll be perfectly honest. My bad movie.
Backdraft 3. The backdraft name.
If only.
Ooh, Backdraft 3, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh my gosh. I love Electric Boogaloo. That movie is amazing.
Never seen it.
Anyways. All right. Bort, if people want to find you, are you willing to share your location where you're going to be online? Or do people have to still wait with bated breath to find out?
Well, sometimes I do share, but right now, I mean, I don't know if he'll allow this. I just want to talk about my garage sale.
Oh. What do you got going on? What are you selling there, Ward? What, you got like old books? Do you have any like bicycles for sale? Like,
selling a lot of car parts.
A lot of car parts.
I've sold
one car,
hoping to sell. Well, car's okay. Generous. I mean, it's
right. You have like fixer upper.
Yeah, it's like it's a collection of car parts in the shape of a car.
Oh, okay.
Got a few more of those. I'm hoping to sell. Sold last week. I believe I sold something every single day.
Oh wow! Check you out. All right. Well, okay. Yeah, we'll
Facebook, OfferUp, Craigslist, all over the place. Check it out. Well, I'll give you a good mention the podcast, and I'll give you 1% off.
Oh my gosh! All right. I don't have any yard sales coming up. I'm so sorry. I will say, go to boxofficerefund.com, where you can find everything you want to know about us. It's amazing. And tune in next week, and we will be watching another bad movie.
Wouldn't it be cool if we turn this into just like a garage sale podcast, like? Things we're trying to sell, things
Here's
we're planning
what we do.
To sell.
We start very slowly, like just right here at the very end, and then we slowly creep to more and more time being talked about what we want to sell. And before we know it, listeners won't even realize it, but the whole show will just be things we want
to
sell.
Well, yeah, because in the beginning, you'd be like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I went to this cool garage sale. Let me tell you
exactly.
About it. Exactly. You know, you slowly just build it and build it.
Exactly. I'm all down for that. We'll see how it goes, guys.
Look for the right, transition. See if you can spot the transition when we go from a movie podcast to a garage sale podcast.
Nico and Ward's Garage Sale Podcast coming at you soon. All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I think the name actually fits, though, because we started as, should people get a refund from the movie? Then we end with, should people get a refund from us? Because it's not even about the box office anymore. We got a refund from this podcast. Full circle.
Oh, I think we've come full circle. That's it. We're done. No more. All right.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.